This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Last night at the University of Illinois Memorial Stadium, the Illinois Soybean Association celebrated their 50th anniversary as well as the 100th anniversary of growing soybeans in Illinois. I spoke with Bill Rabin, chairman of the Illinois Soybean Association and farmer in Ridgeway, Illinois in Gallatin County.
As you said it, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary as an organization. And along with that, we've celebrated 100 years of soybeans in Illinois. We have a very rich history in Illinois for soybean production. In fact, this year, in 2013, we are the number one soybean producing state in the nation, and we're proud of that fact. We'd like to continue that going, but at this point, we're going to celebrate where we're at and happy that we're there. It's been a year-long celebration for us. Started Farm Progress Show, and we've had different events throughout the year. This is the end of it for us for this year, and it had a good turnout. It's a very good place. Very happy to be here.
And we seem to be doing very well as the number one state for soybean production. What is the size and scope of Illinois soybean growing today, and also what are your hopes for the future?
Well, this past year we had roughly 9.6 million acres of soybeans, producing 460.6 million bushels. We have a goal to produce, I should back up, I'm very critical saying not produce, but utilize 600 million bushels of soybeans by the year 2020. Illinois soybeans, of course. And that's kind of what we base everything we're doing. We're trying to get to that goal. It may be difficult, it surely will be, but I think if we continue to just work to increase the yields, you know, like we said tonight, 2.5 bushels. If we produce just 2.5 bushels per acre more, we've hit it. Now, we don't want to just produce those beans. We want to find markets for them. We want to have a home for those beans before we produce them, because we know it's important that we make money. We got to be profitable. In today's situation, we got so much money invested in land and in all the equipment that we need, and then putting the crop in the soil, you know, profitability becomes a bigger and bigger issue all the time.
And currently, nationwide, we are seeing low swine herds and low cattle herds, and that means less crops are going to be used for feed. So I imagine it's going to take some aggressive marketing over the years in order to achieve the goal, but, you know, hopefully the herds won't stay low forever.
Well, that's true. We realize that the livestock industry is our number one customer. You know, they use our soybeans as a source of protein, and as long as they are strong, viable, and growing, then we can produce more and more beans and find a place for them to go. So, yeah, it's critical that the numbers pick back up. Hopefully, they'll find some sort of a cure for this problem with the swine herds. The livestock industry, as well as we, have to be profitable. So if they're losing money, they're going to back up and regroup and reconsider, and that takes time. And we're still producing beans, so we're looking for new markets all the time. We want the animal industry to maintain the levels that we're at today. In fact, we want to expand, and we want more animal in Illinois and surrounding areas so that we can sell those beans to those producers and maintain our demand for our beans.
Very good, and the best of luck to you in accomplishing all of that. Is there anything else you want to add before we go here about this evening or about future goals or even anything dating back to 1914 on the history of growing soybeans in Illinois?
You know, tonight we heard whether in 1914 we had 2,000 acres of soybeans in Illinois, and here we are a year, 2013, we had 9.6 million acres. We've come a long way, you know. And as Don Gwinnip said, we can go further, and we fully expect to go further. We can do that. We have to put forth the efforts on a daily basis to improve what we're doing and do a better job of it. We got to meet the needs and the wishes of our customers, whether that be livestock or processors. I hate to leave any interview without mentioning one thing that I think is very important, which is membership. As I mentioned, we have two different distinct boards underneath the umbrella of the ISA. It's the Illinois Soybean Growers, which is our membership arm, and the Illinois Soybean Board, which is our checkoff investments. We need more members. We like farmers to say, you know, we believe in what you're doing, we understand what you're doing, and we want you to put your name on the list and say, yeah, I am a soybean producer in Illinois, and I belong to the Illinois soybean growers. It's easy to do. I mean, anytime, you know, to talk to me or anybody else, but $195 for a three-year membership, that's our normal rate. $145 right now, we got a special going, if you can believe that. You know, for 3 years, it's not big money, let's face it. So we want to know what they want, what they need, what they expect, what they want us to do. What do the Illinois Soybean Association need to do to make all the farmers out there want to be a member? I believe that with a stronger membership base, stronger foundation, we as an organization become much stronger, much more relevant to our people that we represent. And with that, you know, the soybean farmers can feel like more that it is their, truly, it's their organization. We're a part of that. We're strong behind them, and we support what they're doing.
And the soybean farmers that are a part of the organization now, what do you feel they always hope to get back from their membership?
As a member of the Illinois Soybean Growers, I think they expect us to be their advocate, to take their story to Springfield and to Washington, to hopefully tell their story, tell them what's important to them, what they need, and why. We do a good job of that. There's only a problem, there's only 24 members on the board. Every time I've gone to Washington, D.C. or to Springfield and talked to the legislators, they all say the same thing. Where are your farmers? Why don't they talk to us? Tell us the stories. We need to know their story. Because for every one of the farmers that speak to them, they may have 1,000 on the other side that carry a different message. So they understand agriculture to a degree. They know it's important. They know we do a good job producing food, fiber, feed, fuel for ourselves and rest of the world. But they need to have that reinforced, give them some sort of a reason to say to the 1,000 that call in, hey, wait a minute, these farmers do a good job. They feed you every day. Every day you can do your job because they do such a good job at what they do. They produce the food that feeds us every day. They need to hear that from us, from the farmers. Whether it be soybean, corn, livestock, we're farmers, number one.
As Paul Harvey would have said, they need to hear the rest of the story.
Exactly.
All right, Bill, is there anything else you'd like to add?
The purpose of the ISA is to represent Illinois soybean producers. We advocate for them in areas of the legislative and regulatory issues. That's the Illinois soybean grower side. And on the other side, we have the Illinois Soybean Board. And in that area, we manage and invest the checkoff dollars that the farmers invest in the soybean industry. We work with research, we work with market development, education, and communications. And all those areas, our sole purpose is to reach our vision, which is to have the Illinois soybean producers to be the most knowledgeable and profitable soybean producers around the globe. So that's our mission. That's what we try to do.
Again, that was Bill Rabin, chairman of the Illinois Soybean Association. Yesterday, the M&M Service Company held a field day at their Litchfield location. While a majority of the stations talked about genetics or nutrient management, guest speaker Sean Arians with Precision Planting took a different route and focused on the mechanics of planting.
That's correct, Angela. And what we strive to do is to work with producers to understand that we have to set the planter pass up correctly from the start in order to ensure that maximum yield potential at the end of the year. Genetics are great. They're meant to perform. But as producers, we have to make sure that we manage that planter pass from not only the meters to our drive system on the planter, but also how we manage the downforce and what weight we carry across the field at planting time to ensure the perfect environment for that seed.
And you touched a lot on a keyword, singulation.
Right. Our goal as we singulate that seed is to make sure that every hole in that meter is filled with a seed that will essentially drop down the seed tube and be planted in the field. And as we maintain that singulation, if our goal of being a 99 to 100%, that means that we've guaranteed a seed a place in the soil environment. And that, of course, will translate into yield as we go into the fall.
Now, you focused a lot on downforce. Can you kind of go over that and what the different factors are involved with that?
Downforce is pretty important and often overlooked. We pay attention to meters, but we often forget downforce and how that's managed. And downforce can be managed with springs, standard springs on a planter. It can also be managed with pneumatics, or we can control it with automation now as technology comes into play. We have an automated control system with Airforce to manage the planter wide across all rows, or we can put hydraulic units on that planter, which is a delta force system that allows us to control every row individually. And as most growers know, they go through the field and they have different soil conditions and environments that need managed differently. And to the tradition is generally get in the get the planter set and go plant and don't look back. And our goal is to change the mindset of growers to think about that differently and manage that downforce. It's all about creating the perfect environment for the seed, and the more we pay attention to that planter pass to do that, we set the grower up for success.
You also gave examples of a few situations where you would be checking the drive versus checking the monitor. What are those situations?
Oftentimes when we see a singulation issue, meaning that as the disc went through the seed pool, it didn't pick up a seed, oftentimes that's a meter problem, whether it's a vacuum meter seal that might be going bad, whether it's a hole that's plugged of a little foreign material, maybe a cracked seed that got through and is now plugging that hole. If it's singulation, we often refer the grower to check the meter. If it's a spacing issue, meaning that we've got plants that are not on our target, most oftentimes around here, if we're planting 34,000 on 30-inch rows, that traditional spacing is going to be that 6 inches. If that spacing is off, at that point we want the grower to look at their drive chains, their drive shafts, any misaligned hex shafts. Things like that are all things that affect spacing on the planter, and that's how we make sure that we get the grower to get back out of the tractor and take another look.
So in some ways, you're shockingly saying that if there's good conditions but you still have emergence problems, it may not be your seed dealer's fault.
That's correct. Oftentimes a grower will think that if they had emergence problems, it's the first call is to the seed rep, and that's not oftentimes the case. Genetics today have so much engineering and science behind them that they're meant to perform in a lot of varying conditions. And it's our goal as a producer to make sure that we set that planter and that seed up for success. And that's what we challenge growers, and what I challenge the growers here to do is think differently about that and walk their fields, understand, was a seed really planted there? Was it something that I did on the planting pass that caused that seed to not have the best environment available to it to produce?
In order for it to reach its optimal growth, we have to give it the best start.
That's absolutely correct.
Again, that was Sean Arians with Precision Planting. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.